B-Pod Studios.
Toucher. Our only concern is your condition.
Rich. This guy's a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Talking about the imminent changing of the Washington Redskins name, and then we heard Terry Francona talk about the name the Indians. Again, the Redskins is just like, all right, dude, time passes. You got to get rid of it. And the Chief Wahoo thing seems not great if I was negative. If I was Native American. Jeff on line one, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Listen, I am now just flabbergasted. Are you trying to tell me now that the Braves, they might have to be subject to all this, too?
Okay,
so, like,
I'll tell you.
Chop and Chief Nakahoma.
They've gotten rid of those.
Yeah.
They've gotten rid of Chief Nakahoma. He's gone.
The Braves, there was a pitcher for the Cardinals when they played him in the playoffs last year that is Native American. And he goes, like, can you just stop doing the tomahawk chop? So they stopped giving out tomahawks. And, I mean, people still have them. But I don't know. Again, I don't think this. Listen, man, I'm First Amendment, free speech, all these things. But, I mean, I don't know why you would care as a fan if. If a corporation changes their name, it's not like, you know, a politician or a guy going out there with his ideas and you're dismissing their ideas. It's like it's the Redskin. Like if people don't like it, if a group of people don't like it, it's a corporation. When corporations have to change their marketing strategies, that's not an indictment on the free speech rules. That is a business decision. And it's completely different for me. Like if you – listen, for instance, if I got on the radio today and I was hell-bent on keeping the name the Redskins and you fired me, that's a free speech issue because that's my opinion. But if the Redskins under public scrutiny as a and Rich, what happened?
So
if corporations are pulling out, and again, this is not an individual's opinion. If corporations are pulling out and they go, look, time has passed and we want to get rid of the name, the Redskins, that doesn't, and you guys know I'm full on free speech. I'm full on don't, you know, opinions. I don't like when colleges won't have conservatives speak. I think that it's a dangerous precedent, especially in colleges, that they don't allow dissenting voices, all of these things. But if I'm stupid-ass Dan Snyder, and what's my reason for keeping the name? My what? Personal pride? I mean,
that's what it was for a while.
No, I know. Yeah. And so, and that's not a good business strategy. Like, for instance, if I came on here and said a bunch of stuff that I'm not supposed to say, the station could fire me, but the government can't come after me because I'm allowed to do that. You're defending a corporation headed by a complete idiot. So it's not a political correctness thing in the fact that it's not, you know, people expressing ideas or having consenting opinions. It's just the name of your dumb football team.
Well, the best is that people are like, people get offended by everything. Well, you're offended that they're changing the name. Who cares? It's no, like, why would you care?
It's a separate issue. People get offended by a lot of things. And again, there's a huge problem on college campuses that they shut down voices that don't echo what their students want. I think that's terrible. I think that there should be a free exchange of ideas. I think that if you write a book or you are a guest on a radio show or you're a host of a radio show and people get pissed at you, that you have every right to have that opinion. This is a multi-billion-dollar corporation.
Right.
And so now if you're going out there and defending some corporate stooge, some idiot, then, you know, this is not the hill to die on.
Yeah.
This is not setting a trend for people like the listeners and I. This is not setting a trend. This is just time has passed. For what? Tradition? I mean, what do you care? I mean, you could even argue about taking down Confederate statues. I mean, that's, you could say they're historical, and I don't, you know, this has been, blah, blah, blah. There's different sides to every argument. I don't see a side of an argument where the people are a jackass billionaire and corporations fighting it out.
Yeah,
that's fine. It's not what I would die on. It's not the hill I would die on.
Well, two things about this. First of all, three things actually. Chief Wahoo, they stopped using last year. The Indians did. So he's gone.
The Indians doesn't seem. Like, to me, bad.
Once again, I don't. If it offends a group of people and you can make more money as an organization, why not change it? I don't care.
Right.
The other part of it is that, well, first of all, the Braves have come out with a statement saying they're not changing their name.
Because
they said that they have been, for the past, like, several years, consulting Native American tribes, and they've been speaking to them about how to make it a positive thing.
The Braves is not inherently – is not something that I would go – this needs to be changed. The Redskins.
Yes.
It's something that I could. I don't think there's much debate.
But here's what you also have, though. There's a couple of things. There's good and the bad. The good is, what if the Washington Redskins change their name to something as gloriously stupid as the Wizards? Like, something just so amazingly dumb. Then that's just going to be phenomenal. Like, something like, what, Snyder's going to go, all right, guys, we've been working a long time, and here it is. And it's like, you know, the Hobbits. Yeah. And everyone, you know, and everyone loses
Lords their
mind.
That'd be awesome.
It would be the greatest thing ever. It's just like the whole area of Washington just becomes Lord of the Rings themed. The Bilbo Baggins. I mean, this would be the greatest thing ever if they were able to pull that off. Just something
Imagine
so stupid.
The marketing. It'd be fantastic.
But here's where I believe it would be the greatest thing. Sean Astin would actually be the mascot. It would just come rolling out. Hey, it's Samwise Gamgee. Where's Frodo of the Nine Fingers? And he comes out. Hey, and they get Elijah Wood to get a paycheck. So you've got that. But then I think in reality, there is a massive chance of that happening in Cleveland, because I guarantee you, I would actually put money on this right now. I would put money that Cleveland is going to change their name to the Cleveland Rocks.
Oh, God.
Would you put it past that stupid city to call them the Cleveland Rocks?
No, it's true. Yeah.
Don't tell me that that's not going through their head right now.
God.
It's the worst.
To the Jim Carrey show,
Drew Carey, but that's the worst. But once again, what an amazing chance for just a cluster of epic proportions. Like, root for these name changes, because they could backfire horrendously. It would be fantastic. Or maybe they would do something super cool, like just call them the Cleveland Franconas, because to be quite honest, that's really the man deserves it.
Or the Cleveland Dumps.
I wonder. Okay, I bet if I looked up the odds of Cleveland's new name, I guarantee you the Rocks are going to be on there.
Yes, I would. That's a good call. I would assume that you were correct. I would assume that would be something that they're considering.
Washington's probably going to be something stupid, like the Americans or what. You know, I mean, it's going to be something dumb like that. Although I've seen a pretty cool one. I think it's the Red Tails.
Yeah.
And the Red Tails are like the Tuskegee Airmen. And I've seen a logo that I guess won a contest a couple years ago when, I don't know, someone outside of the organization said, hey, if we were ever to change it, what would it be? And it looks like the Redskins logo, but it's in like an old school, like, Tuskegee Airmen air helmet with the goggles. And that looks pretty rad, to be quite honest.
I've got the odds, Rich, on the new Cleveland names.
Give it to me.
This is from July 4th. The favorites are the Naps. I don't know why.
The Cleveland Naps?
The Naps.
Oh, that would be great. Like,
that's
sleepy.
What's
Beetle Bailey?
It's Beetle Bailey under a tree. taking a nap.
The naps.
I have six of them here. I have six of them. That's the favorite.
I wonder if that's a joke. Go ahead.
That's plus 150, plus 200 to Cleveland Spiders. Now they
used to be a Cleveland team in
the late 1800s called the Spiders, the worst team in the history of baseball.
I like it, though.
How about this? The Guardians.
Ooh, the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians at plus 300. Plus 500. Plus 500, the Wild Things.
That's pretty cool. Come on.
No.
That's actually
no,
all right.
No, it's not.
And like the logo is the glasses with the tape in the middle.
No, it's not.
Okay, that's not bad.
Plus 600, I can kind of see this. The Buckeyes, I kind of see that.
That's boring.
It is. And at plus 750, the Rocks.
Oh, hell yeah.
There it is.
Hell yeah.
I don't think they could be the Buckeyes. I don't think that Ohio State would allow that to happen. Why would I allow that?
Yeah, they wouldn't do that either to Ohio State. Right, they wouldn't do that. That's not so close to home.
I think it would be illegal. You can't steal my Ohio State Buckeyes. I mean, I own that name.
What's the deal with the naps? Like, is that something we don't know about?
I don't know.
Probably.
Naps. I'm trying to look up what that is. Oh, tip of the cap to the Naps. It said that, okay, Cleveland joined the American League in 1901. The team was known as the Blues, blah, 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 blah. Okay, the next season, following a reader's poll conducted by the Cleveland Press, the team was renamed the Naps in the honor of Nap LaJoy.
Oh, of course. Hall of Fame in 1911.
Oh, jeez, come on. Stop with this Naps. If they name the Naps, that's going to be pretty funny.
It would just be
with the big fat dude who was the offensive line coach for the Cleveland Browns.
Hey, everybody.
That guy, I don't have the sound ready to go, but
name it after me. I'd like to take a jump.
See, the Spiders is cool. Like, the Spiders is all right. Like, that. Out of all the names, like, legitimately a good name, not one you can rip on, the Spiders is a kind of a cool name.
Yeah, it's a throwback to just a horrible baseball team, but yes, that's true.
See, the Wild Things would be funny because that movie's already dated. So think about like 20 years from now. It's named after like some. By the way, I like Major League. I know you guys have a problem with it. I thought Major League was
No, I love Major League.
I just don't like it.
I like Major League a lot.
Okay.
Second one was horrible.
But it's better than the Rocks. If they go with. Hang on. I saw the second one with Omar Epps instead of Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
There was a third one?
There was a third one.
Back to the Minors?
That's correct.
I saw it. Okay, I did see it. Now, Scott Bakula, or is that
Scott
just
Bakula?
Necessary?
Yep, Scott Bakula is the manager of a minor league team, yes.
Oh, God. Corbin Burnson hung on for all three, right?
Yep, Corbin Burnson was the owner of the minor league team. He was the owner of the Minnesota Twins. It's a long story.
Is the All-State guy Joe Boo?
Yes. He's in that one, as well as Tanaka from the second one.
There is a scene in that movie that makes me hate it. Is when Joe Boo needs like a chicken to sacrifice, and is it Tom Berenger that's like the
yeah? Here's one whole chicken, just like you said.
Yeah, no, but and then he goes like, "I'll think of something."
Yeah,
and
that's
like,
him.
Shut up, that's stupid.
Right. Oh, see, the best part is up your butt, Joe Boo. Yeah. And he drinks that thing. Goes, well, "Hey, pitcher, Joe Boo needs a refill." That scene when he gets hit in the back, it makes me laugh every time.
Tom Berenger is awful in that film. I'll think of something. I'm the leader here. Shut up. Stupid.
All right, it's going to be the Cleveland Rocks. I'm calling it the Cleveland Rocks. They're going to name it that. Oh, and it's going to piss you off, Fred. And it's going to be amazing.
All right. Jason. What?
Master Donato. This guy. So we've had him on many times. He writes for the Herald. But he's got a story about covering the Red Sox at Fenway this weekend that's pretty phenomenal. Like, he was inside and saw everything and all the new precautions and everything they're taking, and it's pretty insane what they're all doing right now.
All right, let's hear about it. We'll have him on in just a moment.
Thatcher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thatcher.
like I didn't really pay attention to it, and now I'm pissed.
Rich. Put your dress as an ape and jump out of the bushes.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's not just worrying about keeping everybody safe and healthy, but we also realize that we have a job to do in trying to get in shape. The challenge of trying to do both of this, and it is a challenge. So, but guys have been working so hard on doing different things in the stadium, putting in another cage, putting in a mound underneath that's covered in case we get rain. So all these things have been in a hurry, have been put in place to try to get us ready for this season.
Commercials. I go down and get orange juice, and I come back, and we're getting back for break. Jason Mastrodonato?
Yes, Mr. Mastrodonato.
Correct.
We've had him on a bunch.
I know. I just don't want to screw up the name like I screw up everything. He covers the Red Sox for the Herald. Jason, thank you. I didn't mean to mess up your name earlier, but I'm an idiot.
So no, good morning, guys. You nailed it.
Thank you.
Real quick, Fred, let me just start because I had heard a little bit from Tracy, our producer, and I know you guys had texted over the weekend, and I was fascinated by how everything was set up at Fenway. And actually, to be quite honest, I've been fascinated on how the launch of the season has gone. I mean, from the tests that the players had to take to, you know, I read a story this morning about the A's didn't even get their results back. They haven't even gotten them yet, so they couldn't even start practicing. It's been kind of a cluster F, but
I figure the A's would be the
yeah. I was just going to say,
cheapest organization in sports.
They can't control the
right. I know,
sure. But you kind of painted a picture for Tracy just what it was like on that first day on Friday. And can you kind of go through some of those things and what you experienced on the first day that the press was allowed there?
Yeah, it was as you would expect for something that was put together very quickly. It was very clear that the last few months, Major League Baseball and the teams have not been worrying about how they're going to get the game on the field, but they've been worrying about how they're going to financially make up any losses that they might endure from this strange season, if they have it. That there was so much negotiating going on between the players and the owners about the financial aspects. It seems, and I'm not the only one to say this, I mean, it's reporters and players alike who feel like everything else was kind of fell behind. And, you know, you could see it in what's happening with the players and the cases. But for me personally, going into the park on Friday at Fenway, it doesn't feel like it's done right. It's just there are so many things that feel uncertain about it. You walk in, you get your temperature taken from one of those automatic screens that somehow take your temperature. Of course, we know you could not have a temperature and still have the coronavirus, as a lot of people do. So that doesn't really do a whole lot. You have to sign a waiver before you go that says you haven't been in contact with anyone who's had the virus. Before you go into the stadium, you have to show them that you signed this waiver. But now you're relying on everyone to just be honest, and you don't even know if you've been in contact with someone who's had the virus. So then you get up to the press box. There's still people sitting in the second and the third row of the press box, which is, guys, this is a 100-year-old ballpark, as we know. This is a tight press box. You're trying to be socially distant, but, you know, not everyone's wearing their masks. There's people going around without their masks. They had to actually send an email out to all the reporters and say, hey, our Red Sox security team has noticed that a lot of people aren't wearing masks. You guys got to do better. And, you know, there's one bathroom. It's tiny that you're all trying to share. It was there 4 hours. I didn't see any cleaning crews coming in to clean it up. They're supposed to have a seat for everybody outside if they want it. There's 35 media availabilities. They had 6 outdoor seats. So it's just everything was thrown together very quickly. And you look at it and you say, what is the risk reward for me as a reporter to be here? What am I learning from being at the park? Now, the first day was important to see what's going on. Right. But since then, for me personally, I made a decision it wasn't worth it to go because I'm not gaining a whole lot from watching these guys from 5 stories up. I don't know what J.D. Martinez's swing looks like from 5 stories up. I can get better feedback watching the camera guys post their videos. They're, you know, for camera guys, they're getting good reels. And photographers are getting good shots. But for reporters 5 stories up, it's hard to really gain a whole lot. And you realize that you're putting yourself at risk by being there. So for me personally, I decided it wasn't worth it right now. We'll see what happens when game starts.
All right. Why is there not more outdoor seating? That seems like the easiest thing in the world. I mean, there's
it does. Plenty.
If I'm not mistaken, Fenway has a lot of outdoor seats. I would assume that.
There's 30-something thousand seats available, but the section they gave us was three sections. They said, here are your sections. There's a couple security workers there. They marked off the seats. I was told there were six or seven seats for outside. I sat in one of them. I mean, it was fine. I didn't have a problem getting one. It's just the fact that there isn't one available for everyone who wants it that's a little concerning.
Now, what about what the players were doing? What did you observe as far as, because, I mean, we saw the pictures this weekend of the luxury suites being converted into basically makeshift locker rooms for each of these guys. But once you saw them out on the field and moving around and how they've converted, like, you know, the concourse into weight rooms, do you think that that is something that is sustainable to keep these guys safe?
You know, it's so hard to tell because you look at the way, I mean, they love it because they're not in their stuffy locker room that is old and cramped. So they love being in these suites. You see them walking down. It's funny to see them walking from the suites. You can see them in the stands, walking down to get onto the field. Some of them have their masks on. Some of them don't. They're optional for the players. Now, most of the coaches are trying to wear their masks. And when they're communicating closely, they have their masks on, but it's hard. And baseball workouts are as such that guys are just clumped together in groups all the time. And, you know, Ron Reneke, the manager, is trying his hardest to organize it so there's not too many guys on the field at once. But there are. There are often a lot of guys on the field at once. There are often groups. You know, Reneke said he's had several times had to step out of a group discussion because he felt like he was adding another person in a small group that was too close to each other. So there's just a lot of that going on.
Okay, can I ask you a question, though? Is because some of the stuff that I've heard from baseball seems a little ludicrous in that it's going to be completely impossible to enforce. And one of them is the – I don't know why I'm fascinated with this – is pitchers licking their fingers. And, if that's going to do something – like, you know what I'm saying? Like that just seems – first of all, if I've been licking my fingers since I was 5 years old – you know, and I'm a 25-year-old pitcher, that's not going away. And to me, like, if that's a danger, then don't play. Like, if you're that concerned about something that small, you know, don't play. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I throw a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, it gets hit short. I throw the ball to first and back to the pitcher. I mean, if that tiny amount of saliva is the difference between me getting coronavirus or not, I mean, that seems a little ridiculous to me.
Right, exactly. And Brett Anderson, one of the pitchers on the Milwaukee Brewers, tweeted when he read that, he said it's a joke that they think that guys aren't going to lick their fingers and they're giving them a wet rag instead, that it's a joke. So there are a lot of little things that they're going to have to do. And that's the whole thing when you're there that you realize in action, when you see what's going on in the park, is this is such a collective effort that it takes so much work from every single person involved to be so careful that it's hard to even focus on baseball. And some of the guys have said that. You know, Sean Doolittle had some interesting comments yesterday, the Nationals all-star reliever, who said that he's worried about his mental health. He's so concerned about everything else that's going on that he can't even play. That it's hard for these guys. And, of course, you know, you mentioned the testing earlier. The A's still haven't gotten their test results back. This is happening across baseball. It's taking days to get these test results back. So if I'm in Fenway tomorrow, you know, there could be Rafael Devers could have, you know, gone out to dinner the night before, contracted the virus, walked into the park, and they're not going to get test results for 2 or 3 days. He could be walking around there sharing his germs. So there's just so much that they don't know, and that's why you see the players' reaction, which is a lot of them are saying, I don't know if we can do this.
What do you think the chances are? Because I heard like Andrew Miller speculate this weekend and a couple other ones.
He better play.
I know you're a big fan. I know. Yes. St. Louis.
Dan Cardinal bullpen.
He's on thin ice as it is.
Just from what you've seen this weekend and what you're hearing the players say, what do you think the chances are that they're going to be able to complete this season?
I'd say about 25%.
Whoa, that they're going to complete it? You think 25% they'll complete it?
Maybe that's a little high that they'll complete it. I'd say it's 25% that they get it going and get like 10 or 20 games in. It's just so hard. you look what's happened. We've had 3 days so far, and each day has seemed to just compile on top of each other. Day one, we had 38 positive test results, and we said, okay, 38 across the league, maybe that's doable. Day two, we learned that was just 1 day's of test results, and we didn't even have a lot of teams in that batch. Now there's all these other guys testing positive on top of it. By day three, we got big all-star names, David Price, Felix Hernandez, Ryan Zimmerman, Ian Desmond, dropping out, saying we don't want to do this. Now, these are guys who have made their money, and so they could kind of afford it. So those are the guys you expect to drop out first. All the coaches dropping out, the older coaches who don't want to do it, who are scared. Brad Mills, Tito Francona's right-hand man for a long time, doesn't want to participate. So when you see the big names and the all-stars, some of them dropping out, to me, that signals the start of, okay, now some other guys are going to look at this a little bit seriously. Guys who haven't made their money are going to be the last ones to drop out because they obviously have a lot more to prove than some of these other ones. But I think guys are really starting to second guess it. And you see the comments from Mike Trout, from Buster Posey, from a lot of these guys that say, I don't know if this is going to work, and I don't even know if I'm going to stay. I'm just checking it out right now. And from what you can see going on, it just looks like it's going to be so much work, and the test results are lagging so far behind that it's just going to be too difficult.
Jeez, man.
Yeah,
I saw the test they're giving him, too. It's not even like, are they like spitting in vials, too? It's I didn't even know you could test that way.
Right. The spitting in vials, I guess Colin McHugh, the Red Sox pitcher, said you have to not eat or drink for 30 minutes beforehand. And you have to do it 15 times. So now, again, there's another layer of, is everyone really going to not eat or drink 30 minutes before their test? And there's 3,000 tests going on. There's just so much, guys. That's the part that's hard to wrap your head around, is how much goes into this.
All right, so what to you seems like the... Are they afraid of traveling? Is it the experience on the field? Because of all the sports, you would assume that baseball would be the safest.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think it's everything else. It's not their experience on the field. It's everything else. It's the travel. It's being in the suite with the other guy. It's the eating lunch with them. It's the meetings. The travel's a huge one. It's just, how do you do that? How do you maintain the safety of that going for 30 road games? I mean, that might be 7, 8, 9 cities that you're going to in a month and a half. So that's the part where you have – guys and their families, and some of them want to see their families on the road. Some of them still have their families with them. It's just another layer of protection, too. I think that's going to be the hardest part, is the travel. And going from, they're supposed to just go from the ballpark to the hotel and back and forth. They're not even supposed to eat dinner at the hotel restaurants. So who's going to be policing this? Is there going to be someone who's out there saying, hey, what are you doing? You can't eat dinner out here. You're supposed to be eating in your room like everyone else. These are guys who have lived a very luxurious life, some of them, for the last few years. Are they going to all want to do that? That's another part that you wonder is how are they going to behave on the road? And it's not that these are bad guys. We can all see. We all have friends who are handling this virus differently. Some are going out a lot, putting themselves at more risk than others. And I don't think it's going to be any different in baseball.
Well, there's also, too, Jason, like Mitch Moreland, there's a lot of guys who are going to be doing what he's doing. And if I read correctly this weekend, he made the decision to just be away from his family for the entirety of the season. So there's going to be guys who are making a decision or having to make the decision over the next week or so. Am I going to leave my family and be away from them for 4 months or so? And, and is it worth it? Like, have I made enough money where I really feel that I need to do this and put myself at risk? And they're reading what Freddie Freeman's going through right now, and they're saying, hey, Freddie Freeman's a healthy dude, and this is apparently crushing him right now, according to
at least... He was careful, too. That's the other part.
He was careful. Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, you're right. It is weird that all this is piling up. And you know what? It sucks, because you're right. I think the one place that they feel that they can get away from all this is once the game starts and they step out onto the field, but there's just so much that you have to think about outside of it that it's got to be tough to concentrate.
Exactly. And you look at it and you almost feel for a guy like Mike Trout, who's made a ton of money and is going to make a ton of money. He's supposed to make $37 million this year. Obviously, it's prorated, so that's going to be much less. But he doesn't need to be here. His wife is pregnant. They're close to having their first child. He's out there running the bases with one of those full N95 masks with the double strap that, you know, hurts the back of your head. And he's out there running the bases and taking batting practice with this thing on. And, you know, he understands he's the face of baseball. And, no, he's not LeBron James, and he's not, he doesn't have that kind of marketability that some of these other faces of their sports have. But he's still the face of baseball. He's the best player in the game. And he's taking this seriously. He's out there, like you said, being away from his family right now. And is he not going to be able to see his newborn child? Is he not going to be able to see his wife? That's what these guys are going through right now. And so that's why I expect, we've seen some people drop out so far. The next week or two is going to be really interesting to see how many drop out, who are the names that drop out, and is it going to be any unproven guys who haven't made their money yet? Because once that starts happening, they're going to be the last to drop out. Once that starts happening, that will be the signal of where the season's going.
I feel bad. I'm running around getting tattoos. I'm running around eating. My goodness, these guys are...
I feel much better. This is great. Thanks, Jason.
I'm hopeful, guys. I want baseball.
I can tell you're really hopeful.
I know you do. Which we all do. But, I mean, but it's weird, man. All the stuff this weekend, the reports just kept coming in. I'm like, dude, this sucks. This doesn't look good.
Let's not even discuss football and problems they're going
to
have.
My predictions about hockey seem to be coming into fruition.
Thank goodness for Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are going to play. All right, well, Jason, Mastro Donato, Mastro Donato from the Herald, interesting stuff, and I would just go to the Red Sox. Let me sit outside. I would like that. Could you give me one of the 30,000 seats?
It was just to be clear, I had a seat outside. It was fine. It's just the fact that they hadn't planned that, you know, you could see all the – how rushed together everything was.
Oh, one last question. How happy was Dan Roach when he was there?
Oh, I sat next to Dan. The guy was, you know, moderately happy. For him, I would say that's the least happy I've seen him, and he was still probably a solid seven. A solid seven.
Did he stand up when he was next to you? Because that would be...
He was doing his best to enjoy himself, but everyone's a little bit on edge.
Well, I have a feeling that Dan was just putting on airs. I think that Dan would gladly die to be at Fenway Park. Jason, thank you so much for the time, sir. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
We'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
More of Toucher and Rich.
Stuff is never what you think it is.
On Boston's home for sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, unfortunately, I gotta call someone.
Hot take police.
It's idiotic. You're a moron.
All right, so one of the small pleasures that we get once a year is at noon every 4th of July, you can rely on an hour of really some of the best TV. Joey Chestnut and his group of people who are unworthy to crush the 75 hot dogs that he sets records for year after year after year. They all gather over at Coney Island and over New York, except this year it was a socially distanced version of it. To be quite honest, I forgot to tape it, so I have it. I taped a rerun. Instead, I watched actually the 2019 one, where he did not set the record. I just rewatched an old one. That's how much I like the hot dog eating championship. Yeah. But there are some people, unfortunately, who do not enjoy the hot dog eating championship, including a gentleman by the name of Peter King. Yes, that Peter King, the man who used to be the boss of one Burt Breer over at MMQB.
He loves craft beer. He loves
craft beer. He's a big fan of craft beer.
He loves having one.
He does like having
it around in his mouth and just soaking up all the hops and just having a good time.
So someone by the name of Jerry Sullivan tweeted something that said the media could do the culture a favor and ignore the sickening spectacle of competitive eating. It's revolting. To which Peter King retweeted and said what he said. Now, someone tweeted Peter King and said, you know, you have a remote and you don't have to watch. And Peter King replied to that by saying, never have, never will. Not the point. The fact is, ESPN celebrates the birthday of our country by airing a gluttonous, vomitous, and grotesque event. Eating is not a sport. Competitive eating is a sin.
Well, I'll tell you this, is that he would know. You don't have a head that size without smacking down some dogs.
Now, this is a flag he likes to wave every 4th of July, because you can even go back several years. Like in 2010, he wrote, just what the Declaration signers had in mind 234 years ago, the gluttonous hot dog eating contest makes me wretch to be an American.
Okay, now, all right, okay. Let's stop here. So this, by the way, he's a grotesque man physically. And second of all, so his problem is people eating hot dogs?
Yes,
on Independence Day? So if it was, it's a sin, that's right. So if it was on, June 30th, that it would be okay? It flies in the face of the holiday of the 4th of July?
Yes.
This is his problem. Out of all the things, what a tone-deaf mother effer. So with everything that's going on, this is your big problem, that someone ate a bunch of hot dogs, you stupid idiot? Oh, the founding fathers are rolling in their graves as they drank every single night and bang prostitutes. Yes, they're rolling around in their grave.
Well,
seeing the hot dog contest and thinking anything other than they're eating a lot of hot dogs. Good. And the idea that it's on the 4th of July, like, that is the most patronizing thing. Like, I love the country so much is that these guys are eating these hot dogs. And cry for the veterans. As if everyone's sitting there. Like, I fought in Iraq, and I'll tell you what, Joey Chestnut is a disgrace. I wasn't fighting in Iraq for the right for Joey Chestnut to eat a bunch of hot dogs. Of all the everything that's going on right now. I mean, this is an unprecedented time in U.S. history, and this is the thing he's concerned about.
I have enough shelves in my worry file, and I think that they're fairly full right now.
He has really got his finger on the pulse of society. This is the thing that he's offended by, eating hot dogs. That is so obscure a thing to be upset about. You're going to have to give me some time to even figure out why this is bothering him.
Well, what's fantastic is that one of our listeners, and of course he's called into the show many a time, Mike from Woburn, I believe that he has found Peter King's burner account, and he was retweeting it all weekend long, and I think busted the guy. It is an account called PFHOF Canton Guy, and this dude, imagine him sitting at home searching his name? Yes.
By the way, because he has such a colossal responsibility on his hands to help pick who's going to be in the Football Hall of Fame. I mean, this is a man who truly speaks for the entire nation. I mean, he sits there and decides if Jabroni Jones, who was a lineman for the Baltimore Colts in 1940, has to get into the Hall of Fame, as if that's the most important thing that's ever happened in the world. So can you imagine that guy is the worst? Well, can you imagine the ego on this guy? Screw you! sit there. And you know what? Who even remembers it's on? Well, I don't even remember it's on. Like, it's not something that is part of the zeitgeist. I mean, you can I mean, you know, even if it was, I don't.
Well, okay, so this person, PFHOF Canton guy, just went through the comments to Peter King and responded to a bunch of these people. Someone just said to Peter King, it's just eating hot dogs, and he wrote back to him, which isn't a sport. So this guy just jumps into a conversation that he wasn't
so
involved in.
So what is a sport, dum-dum? Like, what is so fantastic about it? By the way, you cover a sport that kills people. And so, and this is, it's not a sport? Okay, it's not a sport. Then let's not watch The Sopranos. It's not a sport.
I know.
Stupid.
Somebody tweeted him and said, what would you rather have, Peter? Another story on Cam Newton? And then this guy randomly chirps in, at least that's an actual sports story. And then someone tweets him and goes, holy moral authority, LOL. And then PFHOF Canton guy jumps in and goes, for expressing an opinion? And then, of course, somebody said, for F's sake, I don't like it either, but I don't watch it. Just because you don't like something doesn't mean it needs to be banned. And then PFHOF guy jumps and goes, where did he say ban it? So this guy just keeps jumping in. And someone says, I guess you don't believe in live and let live. You think your morals belong to everyone. And then once again, PFHOF guy just comes jumping in and says, where did he say his morals should belong to everyone? What's wrong with him expressing an opinion? And just, I mean, one after the next. So good on Mike from, who is that? Mike from Woburn for essentially what seems like he's sniffing out a burner account. For Mr. Peter King, who just imagine sitting there searching his name and hot dogs in order to find out what people were saying about him. So congratulations, Mr. Peter King. You've outdone yourself.
It's not a real sport. Like chasing the cheese wheel in Scotland where they really that's offensive to everybody. It's not a sport. Okay, then don't do it. If it's not a sport, Rich, it shouldn't be done.
And if it's not a sport, then why is it talked about by one of the greatest owners in all of sports?
Does this ever get old? Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog slice? You like it, right?
Still, you know, he put on that one to hold your hand, and he was like, that's when music was music, baby. That might be, of all the hot takes that you've ever given, the dumbest thing that I could ever imagine.
That might be the worst. Peter King gave it to
take police.
It's offended by a hot dog eating contest. Play Russian roulette. That's fun. I wouldn't care if you did it. Play Russian roulette. I mean, just because Esoteric wins every year in the hot dog eating contest doesn't mean that it should be banned.
Someone just tweeted and said, competitive eating is the last true sport there is. No instant replay, no penalties. It's did the dude eat the hot dog or didn't he? True test of the human athletic ability. Speaks the truth. Yeah. You speak the truth.
I just like that it's not a sport. Okay. That's your argument? Okay, fine. It's not a sport. You know, 99.99999% of my life is not sports.
Right. All right, back to two guys running fast against each other. All right, well, I guess that's a sport.
Oh, no, I like football, so don't take this the wrong way. But, yeah, guys, like Mike Webster, who's in the Hall of Fame that you voted in, is, you know, he lived a great life post-football. What's going to happen to Joey Chestnut except throwing them all up when it's done? It's not a sport. Well, then don't do it. My goodness. It's not. Well, that's. I mean, how can you go against that argument? It's not a sport. Well, my wife shouldn't exist because she doesn't like sports. Ugh.
I need to go through this guy's, well, supposed burner account. I need to see what else he's got going on.
Yeah,
because
good.
That's
like
fantastic.
Maybe he can read the New York Times and tell me about how this is affecting him in any way. You know, there's things out there that are affecting us.
Like of all the things to complain about now.
Well, just in general would be horribly dumb. But there's things right now that are truly affecting us. Regardless of race, creed, or age, there are things that are, or political affiliation, there are things that are affecting us right now in form of a virus that's invisible and is killing people. Stupid idiot. stupid idiot. But he spends all day trying to figure out what moron's going to get into the stupid Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's his cross to bear. I would say that Joey Chestnut is far more important than Peter King. He's far more important. You got to revisit that story later in the show. That is truly one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Oh yeah, he was all in. He's been all in for years on this.
Yeah, that's his thing. I mean, he's hypocritical in so many ways that it's ridiculous. Ugh. But the Super Bowl, you know, when Maroon 5 plays the halftime show, that's the whole thing. That's everyone needs that. Suppose the hot dog eating contest. And by the way, he goes, it's gluttonous. Wait, huh? Gluttonous? You're saying eating 72 hot dogs is gluttonous? Wow. Thanks for the insight, stupid. All right. I want to talk about that later in the show. All right. Because there's so much to unpeel about this stupid idiot. By the way, his head's the size of 55 bowling balls, but he's got to say, don't eat so much.
I wonder if Mike from Woburn has heard back from this guy, because he kept like bugging him saying, hey, Peter, is that you? Peter? Hello, Peter.
You don't think that guy's been to a steakhouse and just said, give me more than one?
Right. So he doesn't walk into Taco Bell and said, I'll take the left panel.
Yeah. He's the picture of health. Because you know what the kids are going to do? Okay, we got to
break.
You know what the kids are going to do is they're going to eat a bunch of hot dogs. It's just a scourge to society. All right, we'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.